Good morning, everyone. We're glad to see you at the morning service. We welcome you to the Lord's house in the name of the Lord Jesus. I just want to read to you one verse from Hebrews chapter 12, the opening verse of the portion. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. May the Lord bless our hearts, the reading just of this verse of his word. We're going to sing the hymn 439. I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. 439, please. We're going to stand to sing.
I'm
together in prayer. We'll settle just ourselves. Take a moment just for the meeting to settle as we enter the Lord's presence. Let me just underline the words of that third verse. They sum up a little the Bible character that we're going to consider this morning, the message. When I would wander from the path astray. It's possible for Christians to wander away from God and to wander away from His will, the work the Lord has for them. And then the verse goes on, then He will draw me back into the way. And the Lord certainly did that for the one that we will be thinking about this morning. So let's just seek His face together, please. Heavenly Father, we ask that You'll come and pour out the Holy Ghost mightily upon this meeting. Remember on Wednesday night we considered those words that were to tarry in Jerusalem until You be endued with power from on high. We want to plead, Father, we cry, that we would know that endowment this morning, that we would know that power in our lives this very day. We recognize, Father, we confess that it is our greatest need at this time, at this hour, this day in which we're found. We plead, Father, that You'll come again upon Your church and come upon our lives in the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask Thee to give to us once more Holy Ghost prayer meetings, Holy Ghost evangelistic meetings. Lord, we plead that the Spirit will rest upon all that we would seek to do in Your name and for the extension of Your kingdom. Remember way back at creation, the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And Lord, we would plead that the Spirit of God would come and move upon this church and upon its witness and upon its testimony. We want to pray, Father, that this Sabbath day, this first day of the week, will be a day that's marked by the power of God. It'll be a day, Father, that is evident that the Spirit is amongst us, the Spirit is upon us, that He's working and speaking, even in our midst. Come and teach us today from Your word. Come and apply the Scriptures, we ask, at all of our hearts. We want to pray, Father, for help of the Spirit, even as we seek Thee now in prayer. We're never more conscious of our weakness, our emptiness, our need than at that time when we seek to draw nigh to God in prayer. Lord, we plead that You would draw nigh to us today. Your word promises, if we draw nigh to Thee, that Thou will draw nigh to us. And Lord, we pray that through this day, not just this morning, but we pray that even in our homes and again the service tonight, that we would know the Lord drawing near to us. Bless all, Father, that are gathered here in Thy house today. Thank You for the congregation of God's people. We thank You for those that know the Lord, those that are saved. We pray, Father, for Your enabling this week. We pray that You'll fill us with Thy Spirit, give us grace to walk worthy of Christ our Savior. We want to pray, Father, that You'll help us to walk circumspectly and not as fools, even as Your word teaches and exhorts. Lord, we want to pray that our lives themselves would be a witness, that we'll let our light shine before men, that they'll see our good works. We pray that You'll bless every family of this church. Remember, Father, those families that have challenging circumstances that they're passing through, difficult decisions that have to be made, heavy burdens that are weighing upon their hearts. We ask that they especially would know the nearness of the Lord. May Jesus Himself draw near and go with them. We thank You for the promise, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We pray, Father, that every brother, every sister here would know that promise fulfilled for them. May they know your help. May they be conscious of your presence. May they realize that the Lord is upholding them moment by moment and hour by hour. We want to pray that direction will be given. We want to pray too, Father, for those that are not able to be here today. We think of some on holiday. We pray that you'll bless them, refresh them. We're mindful, Father, of some that are engaged in the work of God today, helping with children's camps. We pray just that you'd be near to them. We pray that they would know the blessing of God and all that are laboring with them. Use them as they seek to bring the gospel, the word of God, to the hearts of the young people. We're mindful, Father, of the senior members of our congregation that are absent from us just because of weakness and infirmity. Some, Father, that are joining us today, even on the live stream, we pray that they would know the nearness of the Lord. And Father, in all the challenging circumstances of latter years and old age, we pray that they'll know the grace, the strength of God. We pray that you'll give them the strength that is needed. You've promised we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. You've promised as well to give us fruit even in old age. And how we rejoice, Father, that right to the end of our days, that we're able to be useful and fruitful in the service of the Master. We thank you, Father, for the children's camp this past week, the Reverend McKee and all that laboured with him, the young people from our congregation here that were present at that camp, the blessing that those meetings, the times together were. We pray, Father, that the word of God that was taught will bear fruit. Pray that all of those children might be saved. And we pray, Father, that from that number that was gathered during the past week, that you'll call out those that would serve thee full time in coming days and in coming years. Remember the youth camp of this incoming week, the youth council. We pray that the hand of God will be upon all that is planned. We remember, Father, that you've warned that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. We need thee to be with us. So we're asking, Father, undertake for all that will lead that camp. We thank you for the goodly number that's going to be assembled. We pray for rich times of fellowship among the young people. Lord, we ask today, bless the youth of the Free Church. We pray that you'll lead them on. We pray that you'll send us many young people in coming days, in coming years. Build up the numbers of the young people amongst us. And Lord, we want to pray, give them a heart for God and a desire to serve thee, a desire to do something more in the service of the Master. We pray for the outreach of this past week. We remember, Father, all of the literature, the tracts that went forth into the homes there in Rich Hill and Hamilton's Bawn. We praise thee, Father, for each one that was engaged in that work. We thank you for an encouraging number that went out on the outreach team. We pray that you'll bless their labours. Lord, you have assured us in your word that he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We're praying, Father, souls will be saved through the outreach. Hearts will be touched. Lives, even families, will be changed. We're praying that you'll send in others to this church, even as a result, Father, of the literature that they receive. We pray that there will be inquiries about the things of God, inquiries even about the activities and the meetings of the Church of Christ here. And Lord, we pray for the service tonight. We want to commit that into your hands. We pray you'll bless our sister, especially may she know the Lord's presence to be with her. We think of this time of leaving, this time of departing again from home and family. Lord, we pray for grace to be granted, the help of God to be known, the presence of the Lord to be sensed. We pray for prayers to be answered of your people all across the land, for the blessing of God to be upon our sisters' labours. We pray for that meeting, that you'll guide through it tonight. We want to ask that you'll come and be amongst us. O God, we plead that the Lord himself will be in the midst, that your presence will fill this building so that all that are gathered will know the Lord is here. We pray, Father, that all that take part will know the grace and wisdom of God, the power of God resting upon them, especially our brother, that will minister the word of the Lord to us. We're praying, Father, that you'll speak in that service tonight. We pray, Father, for those that will be gathered, that some will be saved. Even family members will be brought to Christ. We're praying, Father, that there'll be some spoken to about their coldness, their carelessness, their indifference to the will of God and to the work of God. And we're praying, Father, that there will be those that will come and surrender their lives to missionary work. We ask you just to bless that meeting. We plead, bless our fellowship. Remember all that will travel to it, some that will travel a distance to be here. We just ask, give to them journeying mercies. Lord, hear our cries. Come near to us now. Come down, Father, upon this meeting. We plead that heaven will come down, our souls to greet and glory crown the mercy seat. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're reading together, please, in the Word of God. We're reading in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. The Old Testament, we're in the Minor Prophets. The book of Jonah, the first chapter. We're going to read together from the first verse. And let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts this morning. Jonah 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. We encourage you to consider that, to pray that that would be your experience today, that the word of the Lord might come to you in this meeting. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Closing there, the end of the first chapter of the book of Jonah. And we pray the Lord will bless to every heart. That's the public reading of his word. We take a moment to bid you all welcome. Thank you for your presence. We're glad to see each one that is gathered for the morning worship today. We appreciate your presence and fellowship. May the blessing of God be your portion. We welcome the children and young people. We're thankful to you for coming along to the service this summertime as well. We're always encouraged to see the little ones gathered with us in the meetings. And we welcome as well those that are watching on the live stream, whether you're watching here in Northern Ireland or whether you're watching in some other land. We pray that this meeting will be a blessing to you. If you are watching from this area, we want to encourage you to come along to the services here and to join with us. Remember, please, the special meeting tonight. 6 o'clock is the time of prayer downstairs in the church hall. We urge upon you the importance of coming for the season of prayer. And then 6:30, the evening service. And remember, that will be a special missionary meeting, the sending forth service for our sister returning to the mission field. The preacher is the Reverend Harris, the chairman of the mission board. The singers will be the Stripp sisters. We encourage you to plan to be here. We would all be encouraged by that, but our sister especially would be encouraged by your presence. Just to emphasize that the meeting tonight will not be live streamed. There will be recordings made of the service, so if you would like a copy of that to watch in the future or to pass on to someone else, speak to the men at the recording desk. Remember, there will be light refreshment afterwards, cup of tea or coffee, some covered bars and biscuits. If you can help to provide some of those things, that would be very much appreciated. There is going to be a special missionary offering. That's for the newspaper articles that our sister writes. So all of the loose money that will be in the plate tonight will go towards that special offering. So keep that in mind, and please give to it as generously as you can. In the will of the Lord, I'll be on holidays for 2 weeks from tomorrow. Just to emphasize, as is generally the case, contact one of the elders if you need some help, if an emergency arises and you need some pastoral care. Contact one of the elders. They'll be able to make any of the arrangements that are necessary. One of our ministers is available to help with visitation if that is needed. Remember the midweek service, Wednesday night at 8, downstairs in the church hall. And our brother, Mr. Ken Hartley, will be leading and speaking at the service this Wednesday night. We encourage you to come and encourage our brother with your presence. Next Lord's Day, the 14th of August, meetings at the usual times, 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Remember, please, the half hour of prayer before the evening meeting. And the preacher is the Reverend Leslie Curran, the director of Let the Bible Speak. Take time to look at the tables, the literature, the magazines especially, and do continue in prayer for the senior members of our church that aren't able to be out with us and those that are unwell. Just at this time, do remain faithful in bearing them up before the throne of grace in prayer. Just to emphasize the total for the missionary appeal to Naporo in Kenya, there was a little bit more money come in for that. The committee has rounded it up to £2,700, and that has been sent off to the Mission Board office. So we thank you sincerely for your generosity to that appeal. And we'll ask the Reverend Harris, when he's here tonight, he chairs the Kenyan subcommittee of the board, so we'll ask him just to give you a little update on what's taking place there when he's with us this evening. Remember the gardeners and the halls. We want to lift them up before the Lord, that the Lord will continue to encourage them and help them in their labours. Dr. Campbell and his wife Caroline and Miss Elizabeth Edwards, they are leaving Uganda. They will be home in the will of the Lord tomorrow. And then the Macaulays, that's David and Rachel, and their two little ones will be going out on Wednesday. They will leave on Wednesday, and they'll be out there for a period of 5 weeks. That's right up until the time when the Whitfield College recommences. Dave will be coming back to commence his final year of studies. Just finally, the Youth Council is having their annual barbecue for the young people next Saturday night. That's the 12th of August at 7:30, and it's up at the White Rocks Beach in Portrush, and the cost of that is £5 each. So do keep that in mind. I'm just thinking that 12th might be the Friday night, so I'll check that for you for this evening, but just keep that barbecue in mind, please. So we're going to sing together the words of the hymn 437. Think of them just as we sing them together. Where he may lead me, I will go. Think of the words very carefully. Sometimes we sing things and we're not considering really what we are singing. But where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. And I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. We'll sing all three verses, 437, and we're standing to sing, please. We'll just bow together before the Lord in prayer. Father, we're mindful in our prayers of those serving thee afar off today. We pray for the land of Australia and our brethren and their families, the gardeners in the halls. We lift them especially up before thee, Father. We think of the barrenness of that land spiritually. We pray, Father, that you would use them, bless them. Especially we cry, Father, give them many souls for their labours. We want to pray for those that will come to minister to the congregation here over these next 2 weeks. May they know the help of God, the power of which we prayed a little earlier, that enduement of power upon their ministry. Guide them, Father, in the messages that are brought. We pray that you'll use them amongst your people here. We pray, Father, that each will come with a word from the Lord, a word in season, a word just to help. Lord, if it's a word of challenge or a word of encouragement, we remember that your word is a two-edged sword. And Lord, we ask you to come and speak to us now. Come upon the meeting, upon this gathering. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Lord, come and touch us today. Touch these lips to speak for thee. Answer these our cries. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah 1 verse 3, please, is our text. It says, but Jonah, remember the previous verse, the Lord had given him a command. The Lord had revealed his will. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And then verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee on to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them on to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The theme this morning is running from God. The verse that we highlighted at the beginning of the meeting, we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. This is the opposite of what we're going to think about today. Running from God, from God's work, running from God's will for your life. James Maitland was one of the commissioners of the Church of Scotland that helped to draw up the famous Westminster Confession of Faith. But later in his life, he bought the Bass Rock just off the east coast of Scotland, off the Firth of Forth. He paid £4,000 for the Bass Rock. That was an exorbitant sum of money in those days. You ask why did he buy that little island, that little rock? Well, he did so to use it as a prison, especially for the Scottish Covenanters, those dear believers in Scotland at that time that were seeking liberty to worship God. It seems very strange that the man who at one time was so respected, sent to represent the church at the Westminster Assembly, that same man would later become a leading persecutor of God's people in his own land of Scotland. People then, way back in those times, they often spoke of the change, the great change that took place in James Maitland's life. You ask this morning what happened to that man? Well, he was a Jonah. He was a man that ran away from God. He was a man that ran away from the work that God had given to him, and he ran away from the will of God. And brethren and sisters, what a warning that is, that the greatest of Christians, even those that have been greatly used of God, they can end up running away from the Lord. Remember Paul's warning to the Corinthians, he that thinks he stands, or he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. So brethren and sisters, there's a warning to all our hearts that we need to be on our guard. So just think of running from God. In the news You hear a lot about people running away from home, from school, people running away from their country for all sorts of reasons. But here's running from God, and that's the most fearful running of all. And in many ways, that's the story of the human race. Adam, when he disobeyed God, he ran, and he hid himself in the trees of the Garden of Eden. And the reality is that mankind, the human race, has been running from God ever since. Think of young John Mark. You remember a few months back, we considered his life. He was on the mission field. He was laboring with Paul. What an honor that was. But he ran. He ran back home. We're told in the scripture that he went not with them to the work. You think of the unsaved, how they run after sin. Maybe that's true of you. Peter said, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Just think of that. Running to live a wild life. So running from God, brethren and sisters. I wonder, is that a description of you, someone in the meeting? Is that your condition as you sit in the service in the house of God this Sabbath morning? That's really what Jonah was doing. Remember, the Lord had said, we emphasized it as we read the text, the Lord had said to Jonah to go to Nineveh. But instead, Jonah went in the very opposite direction. He went to Tarshish. He ran from God, ran away from the Lord's clearly revealed will for his life, the commission the Lord had given to him. Isn't that staggering, men and women? The name Jonah, remember, all Bible names are very interesting. All Bible names are very significant. All Bible names are rich in meaning. The name Jonah means dove. Keep that in mind. And just like a frightened dove, Jonah flew away from what the Lord wanted him to do. So let's consider together some of the details of Jonah running away from the Lord. Think of, first of all, of the companions. Ask the question, who did Jonah run with? Well, you find it there at the end of verse 3. It says, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it, that is, down into the ship, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So note the words, to go with them. Here's Jonah's companions. And the sad reality is, he's among the world's crowd. He's among the ungodly. Just think of how tragic that is. I wonder, is that true of you? If it is, let us emphasize, impress on your hearts today, that'll be detrimental to you. It'll be detrimental to your walk with God, detrimental to your spiritual well-being. Remember, there's an old principle, your friends say a lot about you. So just ponder that for a moment and ask, what do your friends say about you? What sort of friends do you have? Do you have friends that love the Lord, love His house, love His day, love His word? Friends that love the things of God? There's a hymn that we often sing. It has a line contained within it, make friends of God's children. And how important that is. That's wise counsel, brethren and sisters, for every child of God. Do you know the reason why so many Christians, especially young people, backslide, go astray? Often it's because they get into the wrong company. They maybe start going out with the wrong person. Isn't it true? We've often heard that told. When someone gives up or gets up in a meeting to give a word of testimony, and they look back maybe to their teenage years, to the years of their youth, and they tell you about getting into the wrong company. So, brethren and sisters, we stress this morning, be careful, be very careful about the company you keep. You think of Peter. Why did Peter deny the Lord? Why did he use the foul words, the bad language? One reason is he got into the wrong company, the wrong crowd. And I say again to you, be careful about the company that you keep. Remember, the Bible teaches that fellowship with God's people, coming to the meetings like this, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we're to exhort one another. The Bible says that fellowship with God's people is vital. The New Testament, the book of Acts, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And I want to urge you to do the same. We live in difficult days, days of discouragement, days of great opposition to the things of God, days to a large extent when to the human eye, there's not a lot that is happening. There's not a lot of progress that is taking place. But I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, sometimes the Lord tests us, tests our hearts. I want to encourage you to continue in the things of God, your walk with the Lord, continue in your fellowship with God's people. Because remember, Jonah here, he was running with the world. He was running with the world's crowd. And one lesson that we learn from the passage about that is, he put them in great danger. He put these ungodly people in great danger. And just how serious that is. Think of it, that because of Jonah out of the will of God, the sailors on this ship, they almost perished. They almost lost their life in the storm. Remember that no man sins unto himself. If you sin, if you backslide, if you step out of the will of God, if you run away from the Lord, you're not the only one affected by that. Others are influenced. Others are affected by your actions as well. So just think of the question, who's in danger today? Who's in danger of being lost? Who's in danger of perishing, going to hell, because of your life? Because of the life that you're living in disobedience to God? Is it one of your family, one of your friends, one of your neighbors, one of your work colleagues? You're not being the witness to them, the faithful witness that you ought to be. So that's just something about his company. Think as well about the circumstances. In verse 3, the words of our text, it says, he found a ship going to Tarsus, so he paid the fare thereof. What I want you to note, whenever Jonah ran from God, the circumstances were in his favor. There was a ship that was available, and the ship had a space for a passenger, and Jonah had the money to pay the fare, and so on. So whenever he ran, all the circumstances were in his favor. At the beginning, there were no obstacles, no hindrances in his path. And Jonah could have thought, and he probably did think, that because of the circumstances that he encountered as he ran, that he was doing the right thing. He was thinking over to himself, everything's going to be okay. But he was wrong. In fact, he was very wrong. Because he was heading for a storm, heading for disaster. And the same may be true of you, my brother, my sister. I want to sound a clear warning to you this morning in the service, brethren and sisters. It doesn't matter how good your circumstances are. It doesn't matter today how good life is treating you. It doesn't matter how good your job is, how good your prospects are, how well your business is doing. The reality is, if you're out of the will of God, if you're running from the Lord, you're on a dangerous course. In fact, you're on a very dangerous course. So I want to say to you, don't trust your circumstances when making decisions, because circumstances are not an infallible guide to life. This book, the Bible, is the only infallible guide that God has given to us. It is true that God does use circumstances. Those of you who were at the midweek service a few weeks ago, we spoke about on the subject of how do you know the will of God. In that meeting, in that study, we emphasized the three B's, the Bible, the burden, and the bearing. And those are the three things that you look to when seeking to determine God's will for your life. So as you think of the bearings, it indicates God does use circumstances to guide his people, but he does so in conjunction with his word, not apart from his word. Jonah's circumstances at that time were in complete opposition to what God had told them in his word. So always remember, brethren and sisters, first and foremost, God guides through the scriptures. Never forget that. The psalmist tells us, what a lovely verse it is, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Those of you that were at the Holiday Bible Club a couple of weeks ago, our brother Chris emphasized that text in one of the messages. Thy word, this book, is like a light. It's like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In this dark world, God has given us a light to show us the way. So I highlight that again, brethren and sisters. First and foremost, God guides through the scriptures. It's this book that keeps you on the right path in life. Never forget that. And once you turn from the Bible, once you turn from the Word of God, you're on the road to disaster. You're on a course that will end in shipwreck. You know, it's interesting, the word that's used there in verse 3, the word "found." It tells us that he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And I want to say to you, men and women, if you want to run from God, if you want to run away from the Lord's will, you will always find a way to do that. Always. And you can be sure the devil will help you. He will help you every step of the way. In fact, the devil will be like the butler. He'll hold the door open for you to make sure you get away unhindered. So let me ask you this morning, what are you being guided by at this time? In the vital decisions that you have to make for your life, your home, your family? That's a good question. What have you been guided by? Is it the advice of some ungodly person, some backslidden Christian that's been out of fellowship with God for years? Are you been guided by the stars, an avid reader of the horoscopes? Are you been guided alone by your circumstances, the events of life? What are you been guided by? It's sad. Christians use all sorts of things. And they use all sorts of things to justify their disobedience to God's word. Do you know the reason why Christians are guided by all these other things? It's because they don't like what God says in his word. They don't want to listen to what God says in his word. But I stress this to you, brethren and sisters. If you won't listen to the word of God, if you won't listen to the scriptures, then God will speak to you in other ways. God will speak to you as he spoke to Jonah in the storm. A storm coming. And you need to be aware of that this morning. You need to beware. Remember, just because God doesn't deal with you or chasten you quickly, whenever you disobey the Lord, you run away and you live a life of sin, just because the Lord doesn't deal with you or chasten you quickly, that doesn't mean that you're on the right path. Don't think wrongly in that matter. That doesn't mean that you've gotten away with your sin. Remember the words, the warning of Solomon. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Solomon says, because God doesn't intervene in people's lives immediately, well, people think that God has overlooked my sin. He's not going to do anything about it. And that emboldens them to run after sin even more. But you're mistaken if you think like that. Greatly mistaken. Because God generally waits before he acts. I want you to remember that. Do you know why God waits? Do you know why God doesn't deal with us speedily whenever we disobey him? Because of his compassion. Because of his patience. Because of his long-suffering towards us. But be sure of this, men and women. If you keep on the wayward course, God will intervene. God will use the circumstances of life to bring you back to himself, bring you back onto the right path again, just as he did with his servant Jonah. The circumstances. The third thing, the cessation. If you look at the words of verse 3, it speaks about from the presence of the Lord. That's repeated another three times, at least in the chapter. I encourage you to look for those references. Can I remind you that God is everywhere? Sometimes we use the word omnipresent to describe that. It means God is everywhere, and he's everywhere at all times. And I want to remind you this morning, brethren and sisters, it is impossible to get away from God's presence. It doesn't matter where you run to. It doesn't matter where you run to in this world. God will always be there. You listen carefully to the words of the psalmist, the 139th psalm. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So the message is clear, men and women. You can't get away from the Lord. It doesn't matter where you're on in this world. God will always be there. You can get away from your home. You can get away from church. You can get away from your parents, your family. But you can never get away from the Lord. And Jonah knew that. Jonah knew that. You ask this morning, what do those words mean in our text? From the presence of the Lord, he rose up to flee on to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What those words mean is this. Jonah was quitting. Jonah was resigning his office. He was giving up his work as a prophet. You remember the last couple of Sabbaths? Last week we thought about Elisha. The week before we thought about Elijah. Well, in the Bible it says of both of those men, as the Lord God of hosts liveth, before whom I stand. Now just think of those words. One of the things they teach us is that a prophet was a man that stood continually in the presence of God, waiting for God's word, waiting for God's direction. You ask, or I ask you this morning, were you in God's presence this week? Were you in God's presence today, before you come out to this meeting? A prophet was a man who stood continually in God's presence. And whenever Jonah said he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, what that meant was he was giving up that honored position. He was running away from the position of being a prophet. He was running from God's work and from God's service. Think again of Peter. Remember, Peter said, I go a-fishing. What that meant was that Peter was giving up on the preaching. He was giving up on being an apostle, giving up on laboring for the Lord. He was going back to the old life, the old occupation, going back again to the fishing boats. He's really saying, I quit. Can I ask you this morning, have you done that? Have you said that? Have you quit? Quit the prayer meeting? Quit serving the Lord? Maybe quit the position you once held in the church and the work of God? How sad that is, brethren and sisters. Remember this. It's a good bit of advice that was given many years ago. It's always too soon to quit. Always too soon to give up. There's times the going will get tough. We live in those days. There's times the numbers will be small. The Bible speaks to us about the days of small things. We're not to despise the day of small things. But in those times, we need to hang in. Need to hang in there. Need to weather the storm. Need to be, as Paul said to the Corinthians, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Remember, Paul said to the Galatians, ye did run well. We're thinking this morning about running. Interesting, he uses the word, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? It's in the past tense, ye did. At one time, you were zealous for the Lord. You were out and out in his service, but not anymore. You gave up on the work. You ran away from God's service. How sad that is. And the question is, who did hinder you? That's what Paul asked the Galatians. And the Lord's asking that same question in the meeting today. Who was the hindrance in your life? Was it some backslidden Christian, some believer who wasn't doing anything themselves? Some Christian that's maybe not even here in the church, in the work any longer? Brethren and sisters, don't be a quitter. There's an old saying. Dr. Paisley would have repeated it often. Many of you will remember that. We need to keep on keeping on in the work of God. Keep on keeping on. And I want to urge you to do that. There's one other thing. As we think of Jonah running, that's the cost. Remember, there's always a cost to disobeying God. Think of Jonah. For one thing, it cost him the money that he paid for the fare. You have that in verse 3. It says he went down to Joppa, he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. And he never got a refund. He never got his money back, the money that he gave for the fare. As well as that, they lost the cargo. They lost all of the ship's cargo. If you look at verse 5, the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. So he lost his money. The ship lost its cargo. It all went over the side. That was the material cost to Jonah running from the Lord. But there was an even greater cost, and that is what it cost him spiritually. Remember that running away cost Jonah his testimony. It's not a solemn thought. He had no testimony before the world. He had no testimony before these sailors on the ship. Running away cost him his peace, because remember, he ended up in the middle of a fierce storm. Think of how fearful, how frightening that would have been. Running away from the Lord cost him his fellowship with God. He was no longer there in the Lord's presence. He was no longer walking with the Lord. And running away almost cost him his life as well. So, brethren and sisters, there's a great price to pay for being out of the will of God, for running from the Lord. And remember, never forget, the spiritual cost is always the greatest. I've emphasized to you a few times recent weeks about Samson. He wist not the Lord was departed from him. His disobedience to God, it cost him the Lord's presence, cost him the Lord's power in his life. And the tragic thing was he didn't know it. How sad that is. Think of David praying in that great Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. His disobedience, stepping out of the will of God, cost him the joy of the Lord in his life. He was now a very miserable man. Think of the children of Israel in the wilderness. The psalmist tells us that the Lord gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Their rebellion cost them God's blessing, God's fruitfulness in their lives. So there's always a cost, brethren and sisters. Always a cost of disobeying God. These things are a reminder. You're on a dangerous path, a very dangerous path, when you run away from the Lord. Can I ask you, what has your running cost you? What is your disobedience to the command, to the will of God? What price have you paid? Can I ask you this morning, has it not cost you enough? Not cost you, your home, your family, enough already? Is it not time to put things right? Right with the Lord? Is it not time to return to the Lord? Be restored to fellowship? Return to doing the will of God in your life? I'll emphasize this in closing. The verse I quoted right at the beginning of the meeting. And remember that you can run for God. That's what the Lord wants in our lives, especially the lives of his people. Run with patience the race that is set before you. It's interesting he emphasizes the need of patience there. We're always in a hurry. Everything has to happen immediately for us. Run with patience the race that is set before you. So you can run for God, or you can run from God. That's what we've been talking about today in the life of Jonah. The first, running for God, that's the path to blessing. Great blessing in your life. The second, what Jonah did, that's the path to disaster. And Jonah learned that. Remember, Laban said, I have learned by experience. And Jonah learned in the bitter school of experience as well, the disaster of running from God. So think of those two, running for God, running from God, and the question is, which is it for you? Which are you doing in your life at this moment? May God bless his word to all our hearts this morning. Think of the words of 335. I urge you to make them your prayer. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's fountain. The first and last verses 1 and 4, 335, will stand as we sing, please. Father, we cry to thee in the words of this hymn. We ask thee to keep us near to the cross. We pray that every day you'll bring its sins before us. Keep us near the Savior. Help us, Father, to run with patience that race that is set before us. We pray that every day we'll run for God, even as we think of some of those things on the television at this time, the races that are being run. We think, Father, of this, the most important of all races, the Christian race, as we run for God. We pray, Father, keep us running for thee. Keep us running in the right direction. Save us, Father, from coldness and backsliding and running from God and those things that you want us to do in the service of the Master. We cry for your help. We rejoice to know that our help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. So we ask thee, Lord, use your word, speak through it today. Be with us through the Sabbath. Remember again the service tonight. We plead, Father, for a little time of heaven upon the earth. And we ask now that the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will be our abiding portion, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.